Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, or a nice cold one on a warm spring day hanging out on the deck. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the GM Shuffle.
We're light years ahead of where we were last year's season. That's where we are. They should wear Buzz Lightyear costumes. You don't have to say anything. I can't wait for John Lynch to announce Trey Lance is light years ahead of where he was last year.
You're listening to the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. Here is Femi Abebefe.
Welcome to another edition of the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. I'm Femi Abebefe. As always, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Our producer, Elliot Bowman, with us on the ones and twos. Michael, we are now into the month of May, to where everyone's optimistic. We're going forward, man. We're all taking Mother May I step forwards heading into the season.
Oh, yeah. I love the NFL. I mean, I love the NFL. You know, we have our own leaf. Well, I mean, we have our own turning of the leaves. We have our own summer. We winter, fall, spring. I mean, it's just really, it's so many seasons. But we've, you know, after the you know, but from the combine to the draft, we'll call that lying season. And then the day after the draft, we'll call that proclamation season, 2 days. We got our guy. I can't believe it. We never thought he would be there. And now we're into we're light years ahead of where we were last year's season. That's where we are. Jordan Love is light years ahead of where he was. Justin Fields is light. I mean, who is, they should wear Buzz Lightyear costumes. I mean, like, everybody's light years ahead. We're in the light years period. You know, Anthony Richardson is a true pro. He's studying football. Like, come on. Like, one of the things I think you learn as leadership is manage expectations. Like, say nothing. Like, you don't have to say anything. I'm going to write this for the Daily Coach. There's a, you know, Pat Riley won't do any interviews. He's like laying in the background. He doesn't want any comments to be out there. I think part of the responsibility of running an organization is to not say anything, not put people out there, you know, and say as little as you possibly can. But this proclamation, oh, light years ahead. You know, I can't wait for John Lynch to announce, 1-800-JOHN-LYNCH, to announce that Trey Lance is light years ahead of where he was last year. You know, I mean, I can't wait for that. That's coming. Just mark your calendar. We should have a date for that. Like, we should have a period to do that. Because everybody's light years ahead. It's amazing. Have you ever heard anybody who's light years behind?
No, we hear that in all the leaked stories that come out after the fact. We don't hear that going into an actual season there. I'll mark it down for the Niners whenever their mini camp is, whenever all the veterans get there for the mini camp.
It's coming. That's
what we're going to hear. Yeah, that's what we're going to hear. Trey's doing much better. He's made his way through the rehab and all that stuff. We're going to hear
but
that.
But they get
one.
Away with it. Nobody says, but coach, I thought you said this guy was light years ahead. What happened? You know, I mean, like, nobody says that.
Well, like, because they don't want their access cut off.
Exactly. I mean, just say what you think. I mean, you know, I mean, it's not that hard to see it. Like, it wasn't that hard. I hate to take a detour, but I have to. Uh-huh. It wasn't that hard to see your MVP in the fourth quarter in overtime completely exhausted last night, did you? I mean, it wasn't hard to see that. You know, I mean, it wasn't hard to see that the MVP award was bigger to him than winning. Well, it wasn't hard to see that, but nobody's saying it. But no, it's not hard. It wasn't hard to see it. I mean, he disappeared in the fourth quarter in overtime. They were able to sneak out a win that I thought that they were definitely going to lose. But at some point, when you see it, you should say it. Even you saw it yesterday. And you're the greatest defense attorney since Oscar Goodman.
No, he didn't want that smoke, as the kids would say. You know, you saw PJ Tucker kind of giving him that pep talk passionately on the court there late in the game, because it looked like Embiid had kind of just lost it. But luckily for him, Harden and the rest of the crew kind of bailed him out. And now you guys are 2-2. You got to live through another couple more of these games with the Sixers before this thing ultimately ends, because I think Boston's going to win that series. But back on the NFL side of this thing, why do you think that we get this? Like, nobody's asking for this. People just ask, like, okay, like, how's so-and-so doing? But, like, why the need for these grand proclamations to set the expectations so high for these guys?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I think, to me, I think a lot of times people that go in front of the media don't have a plan. I mean, it's kind of commonplace that they, okay, I got my media thing, but nobody spends 20 minutes before they get in front of the media planning on what they need to say. Like planning on the messaging for that, because nobody takes the media sessions as a way to distribute information to your team that's outside the normal realm of talking to the team, you know? And so we know this from experience, from my experiences, most every rookie that enters the training camp, enters this period, and all the rookies will probably start coming in on Thursday, all of them have to be de-recruited because they've just spent 3 months getting their asses kissed. They've been on airplanes flying here, flying there. I mean, you have to have a program for de-recruiting them. Then you have to have a program for teaching them how to be a pro, because they don't really know that. They have never really had to do that. They've been relying on their skills for so long. So, like, to me, that should be the messaging. Look, we got a long way to go. These rookies are young, they're eager, but man, they have, you know, they haven't worked as hard as they need to work. We're going to have to ratchet it up, you know. But the we're ahead of schedule, to me, is like all you're trying to do is give information. You're basically putting out hope as opposed to putting out a message.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you're speaking to the fan base instead of speaking to your team there. And I know you mentioned the light years. That was the quote from Lou Getze, the Chicago Bears offensive coordinator, when talking about Justin Fields. He said this to the Chicago Tribune, quote, where he was at this time last year to where he is now, I think he's just light years ahead of where he was. And I feel like he has a ton more to grow going forward. So we're excited to try to get the best out of him moving forward and keep working toward where we think he can go. Where he's going to go is maybe MVP. You know, that's the discussion now that's out there.
I mean, you're voting for him. I mean, I know you got a ticket. I know you got a ticket. I think to me that's best left unsaid. Like, look, you know, all you got to do is say Justin's worked really hard this offseason. Can't wait to get him into skate. Because really, I might have missed this, but were the Bears in the XFL this year? I missed the games that he played in the offseason. I missed those. Like, were they in the XFL? I mean, did they play in the USFL? I don't know. I mean, like, there hasn't been a game played since the end of the year. How do you measure light years ahead? But the rules say there's no team activities. So there's been no team activities. There's been no 7-on-7. There's been no 11-on-11. Like, how do you measure light years? He should know the playbook better this year than he would. I mean, Dominic knows subtraction now. He's doing that stuff. So, like, every day you get better. Like, the more you do it, you get better. Like, I'm going to say this right now. Dominic and Leo are light years ahead of where they were this time last year. There's no doubt.
There you go. Wait till they start doing multiplication, man. That's in the really.
Yeah, they're light years ahead. I mean, they're light years ahead. I've never seen it. I've never seen Dominic and Leo be so good at it. They're light years ahead. They're unbelievable. I mean, they're working hard. They're getting. Come on, man. Like, we didn't play any games yet. It matters. That's what matters most.
Shout out to my client, though, Justin Fields, who off the field, he went ahead and graduated at Ohio State this past weekend. So he went back and got his degree. Consumer and Family Financial Services. So shout out to you, that. Justin Fields. Go ahead and finish in school.
I think that's great. I applaud him for that. I think that's tremendous. I think to me that says a lot about the character of the human being. I love that.
Yeah, so working hard on and off the field as he is light years ahead heading into the 2023 season.
Buzz Lightyear's, here we go.
A quarterback that we do know that's really good, who has actually won an MVP, won Lamar Jackson, of course, last week, signing his 5-year, $260 million contract with the Baltimore Ravens. Well, he then had the press conference with Eric DaCosta, the general manager, John Harbaugh, the head coach. Harbaugh looked relieved that they got this thing done, man. He's like, whew, yeah. I don't have to worry about this quarterback situation anymore, man. Because some of those pressers a few weeks ago looked a little tense from Harbs out there worrying about this quarterback situation. But I thought Lamar... It was really interesting what he had to say when he was asked about whether he had entertained other teams, because he confirmed that other teams reached out to him. Here's what he had to say at that press conference a week ago.
With you, I really didn't care for other teams, really. I just really wanted to get something done here. Like, I wanted to be here. It was like, man, okay, other teams cool, but I want to be a Raven. Like, I said something 2018, you know, I think it was April 26th, if I'm not mistaken, and I meant that. You know, I'm standing on that until I get it done. So I really wanted to get this done before anything, before my time up and branch off somewhere else. You know, I really want to finish my career here and win the Super Bowl here. So that's what I meant.
So why did he ask for the trade?
Why did he delete his social media? I mean, like, why did he do all those things? Was it strategy? Is this how we do things now? I mean, how many stories did we write about? We talked about it. Where would he be a good fit? Why is, how about the collusion? How about everybody said that the people were colluding that they weren't calling Lamar, that the league had sent, the league's in collusion mode because nobody's contacting Lamar when, you know, now we find out Lamar didn't want anybody to contact him. I mean, who knows? Look, I think at the end of the day, Baltimore realized that they're a much better team with Lamar than they are searching for a quarterback, and they would go into the oblivion, you know, and they would be out there where they wouldn't have any idea about their team. They certainly, even though Tyler Huntley was the MVP of the league, I mean, they don't know really, you know, where they are and where they're going to go. So I think to me, you know, I think as the great Albert Barisi once said in Sopranos, I'm in no position to going into the unknown, not knowing. I think that fits the Ravens. I think that's exactly it. I don't think Albert was saying it for the Ravens, but I think that's what it was. And they came to their senses. And look, I think all the conversation about it being $260 million over 5 years, that's great. But I really think this is a three-year contract that is $3,000 more than what Jalen Hurts got. The spread of the money is favorable towards Lamar. He gets $20,000 $20,000 more in year. $20 million more in year one than he got in year than Hurts got. He got $7 million more than Russell Wilson. $8.5 million more than Kyler Murray. He got a lot more than Watson. But remember, now Watson is guaranteed all the way through. So Watson's spread isn't as important because it's all guaranteed. So it doesn't matter. So I think that's what he did. And when you get to year three, I mean, Wilson's at $150 million. Jackson's at $156 million. Hertz is at $153 million. You know, and so I think that's what it is. I think it's a three-year deal, averaging over at $52 million per year. Because when you look at the cap numbers in years four and five, they're at $72 million. So clearly the Ravens have to extend it or do something with it. If they're going to continue, they can't have a $72 million cap charge.
And that's a smart deal for Lamar Jackson because he's only 26 years old. Like, he's played in the league for so long, about five years now, but he's only 26. 3 years from now, he's 29, still in the prime of his career, can get another bite at the apple to go ahead and re-up with the Ravens. Or if he wants to go somewhere else, I mean, he does have that no trade clause now in his contract and a no tag clause as well. So Lamar's set up pretty well going forward here with this contract. As long as he stays healthy, I think he can be a pretty good player for the Ravens and also make a lot of money, which is ultimately what he wanted to do, getting a fully guaranteed contract. Not quite all the way buttoned up, but a pretty good deal nonetheless for Lamar Jackson. Another guy, Michael, who got paid is Dexter Lawrence. I want to talk about Dexter Lawrence and the New York Giants on the other side here. Big Blue fans are curious to hear your thoughts on their big defensive tackle cashing out at the bank. This is the GM Shuffle. We're going to take a quick break. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds, and so much more. As the first round continues on, you can bet sides, totals, player props, everything at your disposal over on DraftKings. All you have to do, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SHUFFLE. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SHUFFLE only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. Here is Femi Abebefe.
All right, about a month ago, Michael, we had the discussion about the New York Giants and the disease of me. And it upset a lot of Giants fans, and more than Giants fans, even Giants analysts were talking about it and saying that, hey, we're kind of misguided with the Giants and the contract structures that they have to get going forward. Daniel Jones got his big deal earlier this offseason, right at the deadline before the franchise tag. Saquon Barkley's on the tag. We knew that Dexter Lawrence was due up to get paid as well, and he got paid 4 years, $90 million, $60 million guaranteed, and that falls right in line with the defensive tackle market that we've seen so far this offseason with those big boys getting all the big money there. But where do you think Big Blue now goes from here, especially as it pertains to Saquon Barkley, who's still not signing said franchise tag and wants that long-term extension?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I think people really misunderstood what I said about the Giants. I said to me, I did never said that they had the disease of me. I said there's potential for the disease of me. And it's the potential that happens for any team that goes from good to great. So, I mean, if you play it back, I mean, it's hilarious to read some of the tweets and things I get from people on Twitter that clearly didn't understand what I was saying. And I never said their locker room was bad. I said they have the potential. When you play certain players and don't pay others, I think the Lawrence contract is good for the Giants because he's a much better player than Leonard Williams, a much better player. You know, and they got to pay Leonard Williams $18 million of a cap charge this year. And, you know, and they, Lawrence knows he's a better player, so they paid him, which I think they had to pay him. So, look, it what happens when you win, everybody wants to get paid. That's the disease of me. And Lawrence is one of those guys who deserve to get paid because he is one of their better players. So, now, what do they do with Saquon? I mean, I think it's pretty obvious what they do with Saquon. Either play on the tag or don't play. Like, why would you pay? Dalvin Cook's out. Dalvin Cook's going to be out there. We saw the Eagles just trade for Swift for a fourth-round pick. I mean, running back, Tony Pollard, ran to the window to sign his tag. Like, why are we paying? Why would we want to extend Barkley out when, in fact, the market doesn't lend itself? Like, this market that you're paying him on the tag is way more than what you probably want to pay him. So why would you do that? I mean, he's a $10 million cap charge. I think the Giants going into the weekend after they did the Lawrence contract, I think they have like a million. So they got a million five. I'm sure they still have money. They're going to have to get a bunch of money to sign their draft picks to make sure they got IR players, all that stuff. So they got more things to cut. It's like the Jets. I mean, they're holding on to Corey Davis at $10 million when everybody in the league knows they got to cut him because they're going to need to build cap room to get through the season.
No, I think the interesting thing here for the New York Giants, and I'm curious just about what the locker room dynamic would be, is that when you see a guy like Dexter Lawrence get paid, Daniel Jones gets paid, Saquon Barkley is also a vocal locker room leader in that locker room there. He has the captain's C on his chest and everything like that. If this ends up dragging into a training camp deal where it is a holdout, how can that kind of affect said locker room? And like, I'm not trying to stir up anything saying that the Giants are going to have locker room issues, but I do think the dynamic of saying the players looking at Barkley and think, damn, if he can't get paid, like, what's going on here? You know, because like, that's our guy that we go to war with every single Sunday here, and he's obviously one of their best offensive players.
Well, he is definitely one of their best offensive players, but the reality of it is the market of running backs doesn't lend itself to this, right? I mean, we see this all the time. I mean, Minnesota, you know, they're sitting there, they're very tight on the cap, and, you know, Dalvin Cook's due to make $10.4 million this year. And so, you know, they have very little acceleration left. They're trying to move them. They've tried to move them since the offseason because when they re-signed Madison, they basically said, okay, look, Madison's not as good as Cook, but we get the offset for money and we need that. And so I think to me, it's like you're sitting there. I'm all for running backs getting paid because I think they're weapons. There's no denying that. And I think Saquon is a huge weapon in what they do. But I don't know how you can't pay everybody. That's the problem. You can't pay everybody. Would I rather have Saquon than Adoree Jackson? I mean, Adoree Jackson's got $11 million in paragraph five. I think he's got a couple more years left. Is he better? You know, I'd rather have him. You know, they've got guys on their cap that is he better than Leonard Williams? Yeah. But how do you pay everybody? I think that's the fundamental question. And if you don't pay Barkley, it's because you just don't want to pay a running back. I mean, I think Barkley's a really good player. But I would have let Barkley kind of hit the market. Like I said that. I would have franchised Barkley and let Jones hit the market. I've said that. Because I think the running backs, I mean, look at the Eagles. They got Rashard Penny. They got Swift. They got Boston Scott. I mean, they put no money into it.
Mm-hmm. Now, in fairness, I mean, the Eagles also got those guys for the cheap because they have their own concerns with Penny and Swift inability to stay healthy and all that stuff. Well, but the point is, well,
Barkley's what about Barkley's ability to stay healthy? You're not worried about that, defense attorney?
Oh no, you're 100% worried about it. I think you're 100%
worried. Yeah, of course you are. I mean, like, seriously, like, huh?
I said, he's at a different level, though, I would think, that just from a talent standpoint.
Well, I don't think he's any doubt he's really talented. I mean, last year, he played all the games. I think he was hurt for one game. But that, I mean, other than his rookie season, I mean, that was the first time he's played 16 games. Look, and I think to me, you know, I think one of the things that you got to be able to do is they got to be able to find a way to get him where he is. I mean, he had 76 targets last year, 57 catches. He averaged 6 yards a catch. Like that, you got to get that up to 9. Eckler is at 9.56. Kamara's at 9.5. They're in the 9s. That's what you have to do. You have to be able to get the back to do more than 6 yards per reception. That's the most critical thing. That's when you pay him. I mean, when you look at Dalvin Cook, that one of the things Dalvin Cook can do is he can make plays in the passing game. I mean, that's what you want to do. And I think to me, that's ultimately where backs have to get paid. They have to get paid when they're making plays. I mean, Cook had 56 targets. He had 39 catches. He averaged 7.6 yards a catch. He had 2 touchdowns. He got 16 first downs. 16 first downs on catches. You know, Barkley got 10. Barkley averaged 5.9. Barkley did not have a touchdown in catching. I mean, that's what you – now, I'm not saying that's Barkley's fault, but that's part of – if you're going to pay him, you know, it's a little bit like I kept saying about Zeke. If you're going to pay Zeke, you got to use him in the passing game.
Yeah, you've got to up those numbers, and Zeke right now is on the open market. They're still looking for a team to sign with after the Cowboys released him. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this next topic here. Jordan Love, what did you make of what the Packers did with Jordan Love's contract? They didn't pick up the fifth-year option. Instead, they agreed on a one-year extension. Now, this includes $13.5 million guaranteed and can be worth up to $22.5 million. But what did you make of this kind of strategic move by Brian Gutekunst and that Green Bay Packers brass?
I mean, I thought it was a smart play. I mean, why, you know, you don't know what you're going to do with the option. He hasn't shown you enough to say, clear cut, we're going to pick up the option. He showed you enough because he's light years ahead of where he was last year. He showed you enough to say, okay, great. I think it was a really smart move by the Packers. I think they understood they didn't want to go with the fifth year, so they managed it. And I think it was a smart move for the player too, right? I think the player did a smart thing too because – he now has some security. And basically what the team is telling him with this contract is, hey, look, we're going to be with you. You know, we're going to give you 2 years to prove you can be our starting quarterback. And for $12 million of fully guaranteed money, I don't think that's a lot to ask. And that keeps them out of having to pay their high freight for the – look, this fifth year, these fifth-year options are really a problem. I mean, they're really a problem. I mean, nobody's picking up the fifth year, right? Nobody's coming in and saying, oh, God, we got to have this fifth year. I mean, it's just not there. I mean, you know, when you look at the option exercises for the 2020 first-round picks, it was a disaster. Only 12 of the 32 players got their option picked up. And all the media talks about, well, we got to get the fifth year. But it's not true. You don't want, 20 teams didn't even want the fifth year.
Yeah.
And when you're in the back of the first round, everybody says, well, you want to trade back into the first round to get that fifth year. That's why everybody was trading up for Head and Hooker. No, nobody wanted the fifth year on Head and Hooker. They went in the third round. It's a fallacy. It's become a narrative that's not true, right? You know, 10 of the first 17 picks in that draft had their options picked up. Only 2 of the last 15 did. So nobody's running for this fifth year. I think it was a really smart move by the Packers. I think it was the best thing they could have done. And now, whether he's a good player or not, they've got to manage it, but at least they have 2 years to window to do it as opposed to spending 1 year thinking, okay, do we pick up that year and then overpaying him for that 1 year?
Yeah, and the fifth year for Jordan Love, who was a 26th overall pick, would have been just over $20 million fully guaranteed. So, yeah, we're starting to see those teams kind of shying away from picking up those fifth-year options. So remember that.
Nobody wants them anymore. Nobody wants them anymore. You know, only 18 players over the past 3 years, only one of 18 players selected from 27 to 32 had their options exercised. Meanwhile, all you're going to hear about in the media is you got to get back in the first round to get a fifth year.
Yeah, we talk ourselves into it every single year. And
it's a fact. It's not true. Yeah, it's not. People that know what – if you know what you're talking about, you know that teams don't want the fifth year.
Yeah. And that's why you see the number as low as it was. Real quick here before we take a break, did you see your boy Robert Saleh? He was talking about how the wish list narrative about Aaron Rodgers bringing all his friends to the New York Jets is a, quote, silly narrative. This after they signed Randall Cobb. What did you make of that? Okay. Saleh kind of fight back against this thing.
Let's play a game here. You be Robert Saleh and I'll be Al Davis, right? You come to me and say you want to sign Randall Cobb. Al Davis would say to you, oh, fuck, who are we going to take off the field to put Randall Cobb on? And you say, well, he's going to be a role player. Oh, fuck, role player? We got to guarantee his salary for the whole year to be a fucking role player. So once he's on the team day one, his salary is fully guaranteed. We can't cut him. All right? He doesn't help in the kicking game. All right, he doesn't help with the kicking game. He's not better than any of the three receivers we have. He's not better than Corey Davis, who we're going to cut anyway, right? So don't tell me this is a false narrative. You're signing him to make the quarterback happy. Like, just admit it. Yeah, you know, why not come out and say, yeah, there's no doubt, you know, Aaron wanted him because he feels very comfortable with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I'm Robert Saleh, I'd say, hey, well, Mr. Davis, you know, when we flew out to California to recruit Aaron Rodgers, he said that we needed to bring him. So in order to get Rodgers.
Oh, fuck, I don't want to hear that. And you would have heard click. Oh, fuck, I don't want to hear that click. It's my fucking team, not yours.
Well, it's not Woody Johnson's team anymore. It's Aaron Rodgers' team. He's Mr. New York now, if you've seen any of the Knicks games or the Rangers games. We're going to take a break. But on the other side, we're going to celebrate a very important anniversary here on the GM Shuffle.
You're listening to the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. Here is Femi Abebefe.
You know, we had a very special anniversary this past weekend here. I'm sure all of our listeners know exactly what I'm talking about. I saw you tweeting about it, Michael Lombardi. The 22nd anniversary of the iconic Pine Barrens episode in The Sopranos, an episode that I have indeed watched. And I actually saw tweeted. Everyone was surprised that I knew the Piomaya reference and everything. I'm like, hey guys, I've been keeping up with things. Now, I will admit, last 3 weeks it's been rather slow because of these damn NBA playoff games. But now that the playoff games are starting to decrease a little bit with how many we have, we're gonna get back onto the horse there and get some more episodes in here. But with this celebration of this 22nd anniversary of the Pine Barrens episode, we wanted to put an NFL spin on it and find out which quarterbacks and teams are in the Pine Barrens and are kind of lost out in the cold, maybe eating the relish packets and the ketchup packets, Michael. So
you ready to go ahead? They should have stopped at Roy Rogers. There's so many great lines in this. There's so many great lines in this. You know, what's your fucking plan? Eating mustard packs, you know, and the, Paulie thinking the guy was an interior direct decorator and Chrissy thinking the fucking his place looked like shit.
The house and
Chrissy
like
thinking
shit.
Chrissy thinking that this Cuban Missile Crisis was a made for TV event. I mean, like the humor in this episode is so fucking good, and Gloria throwing the steak at him, and the best part of the whole episode, I think, is Tony, as smart as Tony is, when Melfi's describing Gloria to him, and she says, "Does she remind you of anybody you know?" He says, "No, no." Like, I mean, it's just to me, it's just like, how could you be as smart? And it just shows you how they can't think outside their own little box. And I got to say, when I was driving through Utah, all I thought about being it was, I said to Millie, we should be Mr. and Mrs. John Smith and sell Indian relics by this highway here and eat tomatoes with no taste, because that's one of his lines in season one. So I love Pine Barrens. And look, a lot of these teams, they might need to, they should have stopped at Roy Rogers before they went down there.
Yes. 100% should have stopped at Roy Rogers. The Cuban Missile line, I think, is honestly my favorite line. Like, I know obviously like the interior decorator one is the one that gets a lot of the pub and stuff because it's a funny line, but him thinking the Cuban Missile Crisis was a made for TV deal. I was just like, what in the world?
What did this fucking guy do at school? I would like, what was Chrissy paying attention to? Like, did he even fucking open up a book? Nothing. Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely
exactly.
Nothing. So let's talk about it. And we'll start with the short order cook. My guy, Russell Wilson in Denver, the Broncos last year, obviously a disaster season, one and done for Nathaniel Hackett. They call up Sean Payton. He's now the head coach. Their win total is at 8.5 to make the playoffs +200, to miss the playoffs -240. So favorite outcome is that they're going to miss the playoffs. Russell Wilson right now, who should have gone to Roy Rogers, can they come out of the Pine Barrens? Can they get out of the cold and get back on track?
I mean, look, you know, one of the things that everybody talks about the Pine Barrens is the Russian alive, right? And so, you know, I mean, he gets shot in the head. Is he alive? And David Chase talks about how some Boy Scouts found him years later. In fact, Paulie even suggests in one of his interviews that they filmed a scene of where somebody actually found him, but then they cut him. They cut that scene out. He was obviously dead. You know, there's no way he's getting out of that snowy Pine Barrens. But look, I think for Russell, he should have gone to Roy Rogers last year. I think this year, I think they know who he is. I would be surprised if they didn't get him to play better. Now, I don't know if it's going to be better than 8.5, but I got to believe, knowing Sean, knowing what I know about Sean, and knowing that he has a command to kind of curtail Russell and take control of it, I think he'll play better. He has to be managed. I mean, that's the key. And this will be the first time that Russell's not bigger than the program, right? Russell's been bigger than the program. It happened in Seattle, you know, and it became a problem in Seattle. They couldn't get it corralled. You know, he became bigger than the program. He always had the political capital to win anything. It's important. That's really important. He had the political capital because he was never wrong. Nobody questioned his play. It's like Joel Embiid. No one questions his conditioning. He's got tremendous political capital, even though it's obvious to everybody in the fourth quarter and overtime he was done. He was spent. But nobody questions that, right? He's got political capital. When you have political capital as a player, you can get away with anything. I think because he's lost his political capital, he's done. I mean, I think he's got to now conform. And I think by conforming, he'll play better.
Yeah, you're speaking about that political capital. I saw it firsthand working in the Pacific Northwest, being from that area. Everybody for years wanted Pete Carroll fired because he was holding back Russell Wilson, quote unquote. And within one season, when it all flipped up and changed, everyone has now turned on Russell Wilson. And now Pete Carroll has now obviously gained that political capital.
When it was obvious, it was always there. It's the same thing with Embiid. You need better players around him. You need better players around him. It's never his fault. You know, now I think Embiid's a very talented player. Don't get me wrong. But if anybody wants to talk about conditioning, elite conditioning, I don't think you could cite that. You know, now, oh, he's hurt. He has a bad knee. Okay. I mean, just watch him. I mean, Al Horford, how many shots did Al Horford block on him? He couldn't get elevation. You know, so like, look, I'm happy they won. That's great. But at the end of the day, if you're being honest with yourself, if you watch it, but when you have political capital, you could do anything you want to do.
What about Derek Carr and the Saints? Can they get this thing back on track?
Well, I think the Saints are good on defense. And I think that the Saints set up pretty well for Carr in the sense that he's got a good offensive line in front of him. I think, to me, he's got good skill around him. And so the really what's going to have to happen is if the play breaks down, can he make a play? I would think that he's not going to have to stop at Roy Rogers. I think he'll play a little bit better. But I will say this. You know, if he starts to get pressure and he starts to feel it, you know, and he doesn't make those extended plays, those ad lib plays, then I think it's going to be a challenge for him. We'll see. I mean, the pressure's on him. I mean, if he doesn't play well and if the Saints don't win it, the people are going to look at him because how many more, because they're good on defense. They're good enough on defense to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they also have good weapons. That wide receiver room is pretty good. I'm really excited to see Chris Olave in year number two. Like, he's going to be a really good player there for the New Orleans Saints. And Michael Thomas, if he can get back, maybe he needs to go ahead and stop at Roy Rogers. We haven't seen that dude in years.
Well, he's been at Roy Rogers. He hadn't stopped at it. I mean, he's been fucking, he's been so far in the Pine Barrens, we can't even find his ass.
Yeah, Michael Thomas. We're still searching for can't guard Mike. It's can't find Mike the last 3 years. What about this next one? Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns.
Oh boy.
The way Watson played at the end of last season, it hasn't been talked about a lot, but man, like, that was a really, really bad performance from Watson. Granted, he hadn't played in quite some time for a number of reasons, but man, he really has to get things back on track.
I mean, I don't know if you could have played anywhere. I mean, literally, he had six starts. And everything he did in those six starts were completely the antithesis of everything he did in his career up until that point. I mean, you know, from throwing interceptions, he had, you know, seven interceptions in Houston. His last year at Houston, he had five in six games there. You know, he threw at 70% completion in Houston. He threw for 58. I mean, there was nothing good about it. And that was when they were 4-12, right? They were 4-12 that year. So, yeah. I mean, to me, I think he's going to have to play better. He's got to raise his level. And one thing I do know about players that have talent that get embarrassed, I think they have a more of a sense of, okay, I got to turn this thing around. And I wouldn't just give up on Deshaun completely. I think he's got a chance to not stop at Roy Rogers. I think he can get out of the Pine Barrens.
Yeah, because if he can't get out of the Pine Barrens, that whole organization is going to be in the Pine
They're
Barrens.
They're all fired. Man, I mean, Stefanski's on the hot seat. Yeah, Stefanski's on the hot seat. I mean, look, I mean, the Haslams take over the Bucks, and they, you know, and that the first time they don't make the coach buds out, you know. So, look, it's a rough sport.
No, it is definitely a rough sport, and we know that the amount of capital they gave up to get him, they're going to need to start winning and winning as soon as possible. Matthew Stafford, after going to the Super Bowl, this guy was on the pinnacle of the stage in the NFL. Pine Barrens last season, can he get out of the woods?
I think he's done. I think, to me, he's eating mustard and ketchup packs. I don't see him, and I don't think it's because he's not. You know, I think his arm shot. I think his elbow. I think he's not healthy. I think once he starts to get hit, and I think that's going to be an issue. Who's he throwing the ball to? Like, their team is loaded with free agents, and, you know, I mean, they're loaded with – they signed Brett Rippon to be the third-string quarterback. I mean, most of their offensive linemen are young guys. You know, I know they have Note Bloom and Haverstein at tackle, but they draft the kid from TCU. Can they stay healthy? And here's the other question is, are they any good on defense? You know, are they any good – I know Aaron Donald's great, but their secondary is probably not going to be, and, you know, we'll see where they go. I think, to me, this is going to be hard. I was shocked by the Stetson Bennett pick. I really was. If you would have said to me, describe Sean McVay's type of quarterback, I would have never landed on Stetson Bennett.
No, I wouldn't think I would have. But maybe there's a little bit of comparisons with him and John Wolford, the guy that he had as the backup there for a little bit of time there, kind of mobile, smaller guy.
Bennett had more letters on him than any player, I think, in the draft, you know, whether it's injury, car. I mean, there's a lot of concerns about Bennett.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't like you're getting, oh my God, this is the hardest worker. Or this is guys all football. I mean, like, there's some issues you're going to have to dig through.
Taking a look at the Rams defensive roster anytime soon, like, outside of Aaron Donald, I'm not sure how many of these guys I've actually even heard of. Like, there's a Kobe Turner, Bobby Brown III, Byron Young, Ernest Jones, Christian Roseboom.
Well, you've heard of Ernest Jones. I mean, he's played for him. I mean, that front, nobody in the front but Donald. I mean, you know, I mean, look at it. They got college free agents are going to start for him. And this is not a good team. So, I mean, Stafford's going to have to play from behind.
Rough.
And if Stafford plays from behind, it's going to be a lot of dropback. And Sean doesn't have a big, extensive dropback pass game. He wants to run play action. And then now all of a sudden you're into I'm going to get hit way too much. And if they lose Haverstein or if they lose Note Bloom like they did last year, who's the back? If they lose any lineman, who are the backups?
They're thin. But I guess once again, they went all in. These are the repercussions of going all in. And F them picks, but I guess they at least won the Super Bowl, so they got that going for them. Win total at 7.5. That's not very good. That's the lowest, I believe, of Sean McVay's career, who's had a really good career as a head coach. Real quick before we wrap this thing on up, the podcast, the next episode, will actually be on Friday. So we're going to record on Friday because Thursday, exciting day in the NFL, regular season schedule is expected to be released. So we're going to have a lot of fun recapping that.
So hopefully it does come out. So Friday we'll be able to review it and we can sit there and work on some over-under totals.
There we go. I'm excited. Do you have any prediction for the opening night game? Kansas City's going to host it.
I think it's KC-Cincy or KC, you know, I think Philly plays them. I could see it being a rematch of that. That'd be all. I think Philly deserves to have it, you know.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see Philly. But yeah, I think Cincy, Casey, they want to start that Burrow-Mahomes rivalry with everything that was happening in the playoffs last season. But we're really looking forward to that. And we'll be looking forward to you guys all listening and viewing next week's or this upcoming week's episode of the GM Shuffle here coming up on Friday. Once again, not Thursday. It will be Friday when we record that podcast. Well, that does it for us on this edition. Thank you to our producer, Elliot Bowman. Thank you to DraftKings and Visa. Thank you to all of you guys subscribing, rating, and reviewing. We see you guys. We hear you guys. We love the engagement all throughout the offseason. And we ain't going anywhere. We're sticking with you guys. So we will talk to you guys on Friday. Michael, I'll see you then.
I'll see you. Austin be Philly will be eliminated by the time we talk, I think, huh?
Probably.